What's up, people? Welcome to the Black Comic Creators Podcast, a show where we talk to Black comic creators and Black manga creators and get to know more about their creative process, about their work, and just their overall business. So I'm Brandon Calloway, your host, and I'm also the writer and creator of Black Spartans Manga. Let's get to it. So what's up, people? Welcome back to another episode of the Black Comic Creators Podcast. I am here with the CEO of Great Gale, and he's going to talk to us about his manga that he has called Bold Saga. Go ahead and introduce yourself, man. Tell the people who you are and what you got going.
Hey, kings and queens. I'm Yuwarni Hughes. Again, I'm the CEO of Great Gale LLC, a business dedicated to rewriting the narrative, empowering our young kings and queens with the majesty of African culture with Afrofuturism manga, Bold Saga.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. So tell us a little bit about Bold Saga. How long you been doing it, and what inspired you to get into it? What's it about?
Okay, well, Bold Saga is an Afrofuturism manga that follows the adventures of Masego Umnatha. He's a meek teen unashamed to follow his dreams of becoming the next Anansi like his role model, Shaka Zulu. But first, he has to overcome tests, trials, and a rite of passage that leads to a supernatural encounter where he finds out what it truly means to be bold. How I got into Bold Saga was I was working on a project since 2014, but year after year, I had many setbacks. And then around the time where I felt the story needed to switch is where I learned about Afrofuturism. Then I tied that with my love of manga and how much I've been studying and creating it and learning how to create it. And then I put both of them together. And then that's how I ended up with Bold Saga, which ended up chapter one took 2 years to make because I wanted to make sure it was done properly.
Right. That's what's up. So tell people that's listening and might not immediately catch on to what Afrofuturism is. What is Afrofuturism? What does that mean?
Afrofuturism is a multifaceted genre, but in its simplicity, it's basically when you give a Black character agency, where you take relevant information from the past, Black history, infuse it with the modern and connect it to the future, but put a Black character as the center of it. So you can deal with Black Afrofuturism when it's retro Afrofuturism like Black Sands and Maddie's Rocket. You can have Afrofuturism like Okemos and Bold Saga. It depends, but it's generally around the aspect of giving a Black character agency. They actually have a future, they have goals, and they're usually the main character of the story, and it's honoring them instead of making them basically the butt of the joke or mocking them in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel like oftentimes, like Black characters, I won't say every Black character, but there are a lot of Black characters that has their Blackness, like their Blackness is like an antagonizing quality in the story. What I'm hearing you say is that it's not necessarily about the pain point of Blackness, about the hope, the future, the power that they have, instead of the pain of Blackness. And so that's what's up. Like I feel like we need more of that. And it's a shame, and it's a little sad and kind of shocking that there's not more of it readily available, and we got to try so hard to make it and push it out. But let me back up first. You put out a manga, right? So specifically a manga, not necessarily a comic. And you know, there's always people that's gonna be like, oh, it's not manga. People say that to me all the time when they're on my Facebook or Instagram. They say, oh, this is not manga. This is in America. This is not manga. I'm like, cool, don't read it, like whatever. specifically, you're doing a manga. And then even a lot of the comic creators will ask, like, oh, what's so special? Like, what makes it a manga instead of a comic? Or why go that route instead of this route? I know what my answer is, but I'm curious, what made you go with manga instead of, you know, creating a superhero comic?
I'm so glad you asked that. Fundamentally, where my values align, it is with manga over superhero comics. I grew up, you know, reading and learning about superheroes from Spider-Man, Batman, all of that. But it's when I got to the age of 8 and I heard of this thing called NEPEC. I was like, it's so cool. Because, like, I felt some type of connection with it. Fast forward, I actually moved to the Caribbean and I found out NEPEC really was One Piece. And then I was like, Now... Main character has a straw hat, my grandmother has a straw hat. Main character got on the sandals and the shorts, that's how I'm dressing because it's hot. I related so much with his characteristics and the quality of the story and an island representation. You hardly get that in superhero comics, unless you're talking about like Bushmaster in Luke Cage, who's a voodoo villain. That's what they think. As it progressed, I got more and more interested in how to draw manga, learning it. Then I maxed out my library card, 2 times at 95 plus items. Most of them are how to draw books. So from like 2003 up until 2018, I've just been like learning. But fundamentally, why I chose manga over superhero comics is that there are hundreds of superheroes. There are hundreds of worlds, and they always relapse or switch up over time because they want to make sure that this story is relevant to whatever generation. Mm-hmm. Although that is great, the inherent flaw of that is you never get authentic new characters. It's always about rehashing, respinning, remixing. Manga is all about continuity in one way. One Piece is still One Piece after 1,014 chapters. Luffy is not Spanish, Chinese, or some other ethnicity. He's not Native American or anything. He's still the same Luffy he was in chapter one, which equals growth. And that's why I like manga, because manga has dynamic characters that grow over time because the storyline will change. Superheroes are generally fixed. By the beginning, some random situation happens, they gain their powers, and then it's all about being the hero protecting the city. Manga is all about journeys, cultures, lots of cultural references, multiple languages being used. There's so much more depth to it. And lastly, manga is free. Manga is freedom because in a manga, you can be a bus driver, you can be a chef, you can be a video gamer, you can be a janitor, you could be a loser, you could be anything, or a hero even. You could be a villain. It's so much more freeing because there's so much variety to it that it has this ability that you can make it whatever you want, which inherently speaks to the values of it, as opposed to just a cookie cutter. I put on the suit, I save the city, I put them in jail, they come back out so we can redo it again.
Yeah, I definitely feel you on that, man. I feel like there's the continuity thing, right? Like that's what it was for me. I love the types, like the flow of the stories that manga tells, or that I can tell in a manga versus a comic book. And one might, you know, argue that, even in a comic book, you can tell whatever story you want to tell, which is true, but there's a format to comics and there's a format to manga, and the format to manga is more conducive to that, like, natural flow of storytelling and is more accepting of the weirder origins or like we're saying, you could be, you know, a bus driver or literally anything. And so I'm absolutely feel you on that. And it sounds like we both have the same like overall big inspiration, because I'll tell you for my manga Black Spartans, my big, you know, it took me 3 years before I like got to a point where I wanted to put out my first chapter, because I was world building because I love One Piece, and One Piece specifically, I love the story of one, like the storytelling in One Piece, the story of One Piece, and the world. I feel like if you took Luffy and all the Straw Hats out of One Piece, you could still have you can still have it, you know. Law could be the main character, or we could follow Shanks and see how he got to where he is. Like, that's the whole thing in and of itself. You can do a story about Gold Rogers and just go back, or Kaido, or, you know, Big Mom, or it's literally anybody. And I love that strong storytelling. It's sounding like that is one of the things that
that strongly influenced you as well.
And on top of that point, one thing that I love is that the storylines connect in a way that there's progress. But in addition to the story, there's this ability that you can have a person who knows a martial art. I've been a martial arts fanatic since I was a kid. Oh my gosh, I love it. I want to do one at one point. But what I love about One Piece manga in general is that you will see like taijutsu, you will see like santoryu, different actual martial arts that can be trained, learn, and grow over time. I'm tired of hearing like, you know, I'm a master martial artist. Of what? Of what? Because there's like so many different ways martial like, you know, he's a master of everything. Man, you just didn't want to say what he does. The only time I've seen that done properly is Black Lightning when Painkiller explained his martial arts. Aside from that, everybody's a master. If you're a master, that usually means there's generally nowhere else to grow. Whereas in like manga, it's usually like he's a punk. He cannot use the ability properly. So he must what? Learn over time. Mm-hmm. That's why I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what's up, man. What other inspirations that you have? I mean, I would say that my stuff is probably a mix or take some kind of inspiration from the like One Piece, obviously, Bleach. And the Witcher, which is, you know, obviously not manga or anime, but it's a, you know, I'm a big video game dude, and you know, I like the storytelling of the Witcher as well. What other things influenced you?
One of the things influenced me has got to be My Hero Academia. I love the hero mentor vibe, and I love growth, actual growth where a person isn't just, they just get the power. I love when characters earn their powers. In addition to that, Naruto, because strategy. Oh, I love the strategy of how they use their jutsus over time. Mm-hmm. That is incredible. And then I love Avatar The Last Airbender because of the fact of the world, politics, the growth, the elements, and again, the martial arts. And the variety of the storyline, not Korra, but Avatar The Last Airbender. No, it's no shade, but it's just...
You don't like Korra?
I feel that strategically where it started to where Korra ended, they kind of like took everything that they built up and then like undid it. Mm-hmm. But you know, different people have different perspectives on it. Yeah, I think their best season was one.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. The ending of Korra was, I mean, it did make sense, but I feel like it felt rushed. But
that's because they canceled it. They had to like just put it out because of what they did. Because they were trying to go for more an adult audience versus like the kids that they had started. But you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. And in the Avatar Last Airbender, I feel like they told one story in four seasons. And in Korra, they told four stories in four seasons, which hurt it. I feel like I hurt it a lot. But yeah, man, that's what's up, man. I think you kind of started touching on this a little bit, but you know, especially currently right now, there's a whole lot of talk and a whole lot of opinions, and you know, I say everybody's opinion on it is somewhat valid, but like there's a whole lot of conversations about, you know, Captain America and the Winter Soldier just wrapped up, and you know, even in the comic books, you know, Falcon does become Captain America, so there's precedent there. It's not like they just, you know, created this whole new thing for the MCU. We got the Black Superman movie coming out, which, you know, there's also precedent in DC for Black Superman. Like there is an alternate universe in DC where Superman is Black, and so some people are like, man, that's dope. I'm glad that they finally, you know, are doing what they did in the comic books to, you know, increase representation and put that on the screen. And other people are like, man, that's lazy. because, you know, it's, you know, everybody knows who Superman is, and now all of a sudden he's Black. And for the greater, you know, majority of people that don't know that there's a Black Superman in the comic books, it just looks like, or that don't know that Falcon becomes Captain America in the comic books, it just, it looks like pandering. But you know, some people are happy about it. Some people are not, to say the least. So where do you stand on the whole, you know, creating new characters versus taking these iconic characters and using them to increase in representation?
I feel it's like that quote that someone had once said a long time ago. I'm paraphrasing it, but it's just, you can never be a good copy of someone else because you actually realize how authentic and great you are by yourself. Because if we look at our own fingerprints, we're all unique. We're all our own individuals, one of one. I take that also into the creative space. I don't really, in my opinion, it's great when you see Black representation in superheroes and things like that, but I'd rather have an original character. I'm not really looking forward to just seeing, like, if the character started as white in the 1920s, you fast forward and make another world so that the character is Black or Spanish or anything else, because you've had so many worlds over so much time where there's no direct line that it's just we're fractioning to an extent so that we can get sales, support, increased revenue from it. It's, in my opinion, I feel it's diversity for diversity's sake versus authentic representation. Yeah. Like, I am more interested in a character that started Black, but Black Panther is going to be Black from the character and the story. You know, it's not like 20 years later, we're going to see Black Panther and it takes place in, you know, Mexico or something else like that. And he's Spanish or he's an alien on the planet, whatever. I'd rather you start a character, you continue the character. While I appreciate the Black representation, like Iris in The Flash and, you know, Wally being Black, those things are nice, but I feel that when you're doing it so many times, it feels kind of like you're just trying to get money out of it versus like authentically doing it, which is why I love manga, because it's like Ichigo is Japanese. Ichigo is not going to be Indian in 10 right. years, you know? The guy who was in Death Note, Light, Yagami, he's not going to be Spanish in 5 years just to get, like, you know, revenue from it. Because generally, when you're making these stories, the end goal is profit for some people. And when you're a big company that's been going for so long, you want to keep putting more wood in the fire. So I feel like that's where the whole ethnicity switching to make more, in my opinion. Although I do like the fact that Falcon became Captain America, there's precedent for that. I understand that there's a Black Superman, there's precedent for that. When you redo the story and then you name the movie that, and then you say like Superman and you don't say Black or something else, you just say Superman, then the core audience for the 1930s is going to be like, come on, man. Like, I know that happened, but, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, either way, you can never make everyone happy. Exactly. You just have to do what works for you. At the end of the day, more power to them. Because in my opinion, it's their story. I appreciate them for actually putting it out. But personally, I'd rather you make a new character, like Naomi, who is in the DC universe. Or they make new characters completely. Not just, we're going to switch, we're going to make this, then we're going to make that. Then we're going to take this character who was originally this and make it that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, man, I feel you on that, and I think that, you know, having those diverse characters, those iconic characters, you know, being used to increase diversity is cool. You know, we can get a little bit of enjoyment out of them, even though it is clearly, or not, I can't say clearly, it is likely diversity for the sake of diversity, you know, I'm a huge proponent, and you know, which is obviously why I'm doing this. But I'm a huge proponent of that the characters that we are searching for already exist, and they are going to come, and they have to come from the indie realm. Because man, it is some really dope, really great stories and great characters being told by indie creators. And you know, it pains me to see I'll read, you know, all of these indie comics, whether it be, you know, manga or comics, and I'm like, man, this story's great, like the art's great, the story great, like what do we have to do to get this out there, to get it up there? like everybody need to know about this stuff. And so what do you think indie creators have to do to really break out? And I mean, obviously, if there was a real clear answer, everybody be doing it, we'd all be famous and rich right now. But what's your take on it, man? What do you think indie creators really need to do to try to get their stuff to that next level?
I feel it's a combination of like three things. Like study to show yourself approved. You gotta like learn what other people are doing that works for them, mm-hmm. and then implement it for yourself, like best practices. There's also, as Les Brown said, if you do what is easy, your life will be hard. If you do what is hard, your life will be easy. Mm-hmm. Going the route of being independent will always, in my opinion, work out the best because you have 100% creative control and you'll be able to tell your characters the way how they need to. So you're in a space and it's benefiting you. It's just the advantage of obscurity. You're obscure, no one knows you yet. Not that they won't, they just don't know you yet. So the last thing is you have to use the OPM strategy that Damon John talked about in The Power of Broke. That is other people's movements, that is other people's magic, that is other people's momentum. Basically, finding what already exists where someone else is doing good and finding a way to connect with that team, finding a way to connect with that community. For example, I've done Bold Saga, but I'm also a part of the BSP app by Black Sands. Mm-hmm. I'm not exclusive with them, but I am also on their platform. So what that offers me is the ability to connect with readers who already want to see Black manga, who already want to see Black comics. Because if you just post it on Instagram with the algorithm, you know, it's almost like shooting in the dark. You may or may not hit your target audience. But if they already have a platform which is outranking DC, which is already outranking Marvel in terms of the top 100 apps on the, iOS store? Mm-hmm. They're already outranking them because they have so much people on it, 30,000 plus, and they have like 400 to 500, like five-star ratings. It's great to connect with a platform like that. There's BSP app, there's North Caesar, there's Saturday, and there's so many different communities out there. That's really it, because the greatest wealth that you can truly get first is relationships. Those relationships are really formed when you're in communities. So that's what I would advise any indie creator. Find a platform or way that you connect with your target audience and try to get to there, either Facebook groups, either, as I mentioned, apps, things like that. Find a way to talk to them. And once you can connect with them and they realize your values, then you just have to do it over time, consistently, correctly, chronologically. The three C's. And once you put that in, it will take off.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up. And also, you know, shout out to the Black Sands publishing. That app is dope. I recently got on there myself. And so Black Spartan is going to be on the Black Sands app too. And so, if there's any creators listening to this and trying to figure out, you know, how to get to that next level, I mean, I'm not saying I'm reaching a next level just by being on the app, but you know, it does get a lot of traffic, and you know, I reached out to Manuel and he responded. So he's a good dude. He real responsive and you know, if he like your stuff, he'll throw you on the app. He will. He mean what he say. So that's what's up. And I did notice you were on there too. So yeah, congratulations on that. I gotta get my stuff. I gotta log in and start uploading my stuff pretty soon.
Looking forward to it, man. It's great because like most of it is comics, but like only a certain few percentage of us are actually manga in black and white. So mm-hmm. It's like I'm looking forward to it, man.
Yeah. I think it'd be a great way to, you know, increase your fan base, increase readers, and increase overall support. What other way? So how do you go about publishing your book? But like, what other are you in stores? Do you mainly sell online? You're gotta hit up cons, because you know, like a lot of people say, oh man, you gotta hit up Comic Cons, and some people say, oh, you need a website, you gotta sell digitally. How you go about publishing your stuff? What do you do?
So what I did was I self-published Bold Saga and I went through the KDP platform. So I was able to get like the chapters just printed. So if people just need them, it's available like that. In addition to that, I've gotten Bold Saga in, where is it? There was a library for a public middle school, actually. in, I think, South Carolina. So I connected with a person there. They have it there. And what I'm basically working on right now is getting the word out there more. So it's not in a store yet. It's coming. I'm just working on it. What I am working on right now is doing the Kickstarter so I can get the social proof. So that is what I'm currently doing. But in addition to the self-publishing, there's one other aspect. Give me 1 second. It was basically the Kickstarter. So that's basically what I'm doing right now, just getting the word out there. I'm working on having a platform so I can just sell it, because it's available now on Amazon for the physical and the digital. It's available on Payhip for the HD version of the ebook. So those are the two current platforms. Because I'm doing more of the Kickstarter, I don't exactly have yet the infrastructure for the digital, just, or the physical will just be shipped off from here. I'm just basically using what I have available now, because if I haven't mentioned before, I'm doing the entire book. My wife helps me as well, but I do the art, I do the writing, I do the self-publishing, I do the marketing as well. So it's like, we're all, and I'm doing the research to even make it. So like those components, because you know, you make a manga, you know, research is paramount.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, that is that continuity, right? Like the
I cut you off. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just saying that it's that continuity, you know, in comics, you know, if you got a plot hole in there, boom, create another universe, blah blah blah. Like you get
do the manga. That. You have to.
Yeah, in manga, man, you're gonna get called out on it, and there ain't much you can do about it.
So. Yeah, man. So it's crazy. You got to know. That's why I was just telling my wife yesterday. I'm like, in my mind, I'm in chapter 1, chapter 5, chapter 10, chapter 30, simultaneously making sure it links. But back to your question about like cons, I would highly recommend you connecting with cons, because that's one of the best ways that I've gotten sales so far. I would highly recommend Virtuous Con and Afro Comic Con. Those are the two that I know are the best, in my opinion, so far that I've been to that are virtual conventions. So much so that Kickstarter is supporting Virtuous Con for the Juneteenth event. And last year in Black History Month, DC was a supporter as well. So it's, yeah. They're amazing. And Afro Comic Con has, like, they've had Sinbad, they've had Godfrey, they've had Miles from Blackish. They've had so many great, amazing creatives like TJ from Ray Comics, Greg Burnham. They've had, like, all of the greats in the indie space and Afro Comic Con for their digital event. Those two are, in my opinion, the best ways to get your story and your work out there.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. I'm definitely going to have to look into those. And if other people are listening, man, I hope they check them out too. They sound like great potential platforms to get our stuff out there. And so before we head out, you know, and just wrapping up, how can people, you know, how can they find Bold Saga? How can they find you on, you know, social media? Where you at? How can they get to you?
No problem. You can find me on Instagram, on Facebook, Twitter, Clubhouse as well, Great Gale Co, GREATGALECO. And I'm there on those platforms, so you can connect with me there. In addition to that, if you want to find out all of the best about Bold Saga, I highly recommend you joining our mailing list. That's where we can tell you all of the great things that are coming up with our Kickstarter. In addition, I didn't get to mention this before, but culturally, what makes Bold Saga so significant and why I highly recommend you check it out, this is Afrofuturism manga for the culture. So it's not like we just made a Black character and he's in a Japanese setting. Where it takes place, it's in the Awazila Empire, which is based off of an actual African empire. They speak Xhosa, Khoi, Zulu. And yes, there's African languages in it. There's African martial arts in Musangwe. They got capoeira in it, Nguni stick fighting. There's so much Black excellence. But on top of all of that, there's Black love with both his parents in his life in chapter 1. That's what's up. If you know manga, you know why that matters so much. I mean, There's morals, there's values. B- said that it's basically a manga self-help book. So all of those are reasons why it's all about celebrating Black excellence instead of highlighting Black pain.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Cool. And so you said Great Gale Co. On what, Instagram, Facebook, Clubhouse, Twitter,
TikTok, and fan base as well.
Cool. And they can go there and purchase a like purchase a digital copy?
You can get the ebook as well as the physical if you go to the link in bio on Instagram. For all of the rest, I have to update them, but Instagram has the link in bio. Facebook has the links as well. All the rest I'll have to update, but yeah, those two.
Cool. Cool. That's what's up. Well, man, I appreciate you coming through. Great talking to you. You know, love what you're doing, man. Rooting for you hard.
Thank you. That means so much. Thank you again for this opportunity, man.
No problem, man. Thanks for coming through and showing love. Appreciate it.
Definitely. Keep winning. Yep.
All right. So that does it for this week's episode. Hopefully you found a new story or a creator to follow or got some kind of helpful tips or information out of this episode in general. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. We got new episodes coming every Friday. If you happen to be interested in learning a little bit more about my own project, Black Spartans Manga, make sure you head over to blackspartansmanga.com or check me out on Facebook or Instagram at Black Spartans Manga. Like I said, subscribe. We got new episodes coming every Friday. Really great creators coming on. Really excited about it. Don't want to miss it. All right. Holla at y'all next week. Peace.